Before we open God's word, let's unite our hearts in prayer. O Lord, our God, thy name is great and glorious, as we have sung. Thou art worthy of praise and thanks. And we are assembled together in this afternoon hour to open thy word. We pray that thou would teach us. Make our hearts hungry and thirsty after thy righteousness. And we pray, dear Lord, in faith that thou would fill us. Thou would teach us and thou would instruct us. And in the many things that we're lacking, that thou would also provide strength and help to be obedient to the word that we read. This is our prayer, dear Lord, and we pray that thou would fulfill it according to thy will and add much more according to thy will. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Passage of scripture that was open to me this morning in reading and meditating, that I desire to meditate on this afternoon, would be contained in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'd like to read the first 11 verses together. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I desire to conclude with verse 11. May God bless the reading of his word, and may we all bow before the Lord in prayer. The Apostle Peter writes in this second epistle to the believers who have obtained a precious faith, the faith that we heard about this morning, faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And he is writing with a deep urgency and a passion and a love for these believers, that they would have an understanding and that they would be able to receive some of the greatest treasures and priceless gifts of the spiritual life. And I am comforted in these few verses that we've read together, in being reminded many times of the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, and to know that the teachings of Jesus Christ, knowledge of God and understanding who the Lord is, and receiving from the Word is not a vain religion. It's not mere teachings, but there are expressions in this passage that we've read that speak to the abundance and the fruitfulness of those teachings. When they're believed with our heart and they're understood with our mind, and we give diligence to be yielded to the Lord and seek to understand more than just the head knowledge, though it may start there, but that it would deeply affect our lives, the way we think about things, and our faith. It is not a dead religion. It is not mere words. And so we would, with a desire that the Lord would perhaps impart unto us an appreciation for that, and understand that it was the prayer and the desire of the apostle in the early church to impart and to let them know what important and precious gifts were available to them, that we would look into this passage. Peter says in verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." There are two gifts, there are two treasures that are listed here, grace and peace. And these treasures aren't to be found in the deepest of minds where men go and search for riches, but these are to be found in the knowledge of God. And these are some things that we need to have experiencing, receiving from the Lord, and also sharing with one another. As it says, that these things would be multiplied. And I have to ask myself the question, this is the prayer of the Apostle Peter. I would think that he knows a thing or two about the Word and about his Savior and the one who he had followed. Does the knowledge of God and my knowledge of Jesus Christ, his character and who he is, how he dealt with things, does that cause my life to abound in grace and peace? When I learn about Jesus Christ and his love for me, his tender attention to children who in that time were not thought of anything, and I see how he was compassionate and patient with those that were slow learners, I see his grace in action. And I realize that's his love being expressed to me. And when I think about my life, and as we often do, we acknowledge our failures, our sins that we have committed, and seek to be free from those things, we see our unworthiness in that when we look in the mirror. And when we think, despite that unworthiness, that God sent his only begotten Son, that is grace. That is the grace of God reminding me and teaching me about how unworthy I really am. And that is God's way of, among many ways, of teaching me and reminding me that grace may be multiplied and have a larger impact, a larger presence, that I would have more consciousness of my need for God, because I see how weak I am. And then when I read the scriptures, I see how merciful he is. And grace and peace would be multiplied to me and through learning of God. How often it is that we read the words and we learn the stories, but then going through an experience where we see it put into practice. When we perhaps have hurt someone or said something wrong, make apology and receive forgiveness. Though perhaps I don't deserve it. That's a reminder of grace. And Peter is saying, let those things, let that grace be multiplied unto you through knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. And we can quickly go through the stories of God's love and patience and the words and teachings of Jesus and know them with the head knowledge. But have you ever stopped to read and ask the Lord, When I read this passage of Scripture, I want a greater appreciation for grace. And the grace that God has had towards me, the grace that I should show to my fellow man. Because when we come to the Word, we're not coming just to read the words on a page, but to be molded into the image of Christ. And this grace of God, this undeserved love and favor and power from the Lord, it's something that we will not find anywhere else, but in the Word, in our times of prayer and experience with God, and also those experiences where we turn away and regret and learn, as it were, the hard way about God's grace and mercy. All to the intent that we would appreciate God more and that we would be more free to express that kindness that we've received to others. Grace is one thing to be multiplied, and peace as well. That peace of God, that peace with God and peace with men would be multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said that he did not come to bring peace to the world. And we know that his teachings are controversial. They are at enmity with the world. They're in opposition to this world's ways. And so among the world, there will be some that will choose for Christ, and there will be some that reject. And so there is in the world, there his teachings bring division. But Jesus told his disciples before he was crucified, "Peace I leave with you." When we are seeking to dwell and to be under the influence of the knowledge of God and to receive his teachings, and we willingly yield to their direction and their guidance, we won't be at peace with the world, but we will receive the peace of God. And this flies in the face of man's thinking about progress and development, where in the world we see that there's business priorities and there's self-assertion priorities that are not in Christ's way, that would not be in keeping with the ways of Christ. Yet when we want to learn about God and we come to the Word with a hunger and a thirst, and the Lord says, "This is something you need to give up. This is something you need to put away and not participate in." Our flesh and the world has a response to that that says, "No, that's so hard and that's so painful," and there's resistance. But in the knowledge of God, in knowing that we are in his hands and that he is a father that cares for us and loves us, when he would withhold something from us, should bring us peace. Think of the confusion and the busyness of this world. If God asked you to lay aside one thing that you do through the week that keeps you too busy, and you did it, and you found out that the fruit of that was greater sense of God's presence and his peace, is that what we want? That is what the believer wants. A greater sense of his peace and a more detachment from this world that has chaos and unfulfillment. So may we desire more of God and his knowledge, and that would they through that we would take on a greater sense of his grace and the peace that belongs to his children in every good gift that God gives. Grace and peace be multiplied through that. That's the prayer of Peter for the church and the believers that have accepted the faith of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness." This is a very positive word, because what is there that is left off that is needful for our lives as believers that isn't found through the knowledge, it says, of him that hath called us? His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That takes away any sense of loss of the things that maybe we leave out, we get left out of in this world. It equips us for any challenge that may come, because we know that through the Word, we have an abundant resource to address the challenges that come to us. And as a parent, that's something that's incredibly valuable to me, because our young children that are growing up, they are in need of guidance. They're in need of wisdom. They're in need of instruction that will help them to address challenges that I probably have never faced before. And what will I tell them from my experience and the very limited things that I have gone through? I will need to tell them that God is faithful. And maybe I haven't gone through exactly the same thing, but there is a word in the Scripture, and there is a reliance that we can have upon Jesus Christ our Savior in a living relationship where we lovingly trust our God. And He does provide. When a young person or even old person goes through a season of temptation or a day where the temptations are so strong and severe, we remember this verse that all things that pertain to life and godliness are given through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's Satan that wants to deceive us that we need to take his offer. But we need to say no. Jesus said no to Satan, and I don't need to take that. And I can trust that he will carry me through that temptation, bring me through, and show me his life, and bring me to a greater obedience through knowing Jesus, through knowing how he handled temptation, through seeking his wisdom. For he always had a wise answer to give to those who had questions that probably baffle us. Are we not in awe of Jesus' wisdom when he was asked of the lawyer, what may I do to inherit eternal life? He directed them to himself. Aren't we in awe when Jesus answered the question about should we give tribute to Caesar? And the things about our interactions in this world, with great wisdom, he put the priority on what is due unto God. That is a pattern for our life. Put the priority on what is due unto God. Seek first Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. His teaching and his practical application were perfectly in sync. Now that is an example to look up to. That's a pattern of life, and one to point to, Jesus Christ our Lord. Take note of what he did. Lean not to our own understanding, but allow him to direct our paths. This is what this is teaching. When we learn to seek the knowledge of God through Jesus Christ, we're receiving these blessings, grace, peace, all things that pertain to life and to godliness. We have also received a calling, as it says in verse 3, that he had called us into glory and virtue. The world calls men to some type of glory, some type of esteem or notoriety, the noticing of men and people, which has its sort of appeal, but it is not long-lasting. The glory that God calls us to is an eternal glory with him forever, where there will be no more temptation, no more sin, no more chaos like we see in this world. He is calling us to that. He is calling us to live in his knowledge and calling us to glory and virtue. He is not, dear friend, dangling a carrot of promises that he cannot fulfill. He is calling us to glory. And he will fulfill those precious promises. And he is calling us to virtue. He's calling us to a virtuous life. And he can fulfill those promises. Oftentimes, rather all the time, when we would seek glory or virtuous life through our own efforts and apart from God and dependence upon the Lord, we will find that both of them are very short-lasting and not fulfilling at all. But he has called us to a life of glory and virtue, and so we take it with faith that the Lord desires this for our lives and desires this for our eternity, and will hold us in his hand and will not suffer the enemy of our souls to pluck us out. May we love the knowledge of God and the comfort and the peace that it provides to our lives and to our souls much more. We're instructed here that whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Through this calling that we've received unto glory and virtue, we're given accompanying precious promises. Scripture and teachings that we cling to with our life, because as we have already considered that seeking glory and virtue through man's ability is going to leave us empty and dry. But the precious promise of God is that he will provide unto us, he will take out that stony heart and give a heart of flesh. That he will dwell among us and we will be his people. That is the hope of glory. God's presence and his interaction with us, his changing power within us, this divine nature that we can become partakers of, that we can have his thoughts, that we could have that new heart. And oh, how do we desire to serve God with a new heart, with a greater love and fervency. It says that having received these precious promises, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, Peter very clearly and correctly describes what is waiting the world. It's corruption. We know of corruption on the side of our vehicles when we see them rusting away. That is what this world has to look forward to. But there is a way of escape. There is a way of salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord, as we heard this morning, through faith in him. The corruption that comes to the world, it says, is through lust. And that should catch our attention and make us conscious and aware of what is being spoken here. There is much corruption, and we hear about it when the big group of business people get caught stealing a whole bunch of money, or when some man of notoriety gets in trouble with infidelity. But it is saying here that the corruption that is in the world comes through lust. The thoughts in our head and the things that we dwell upon in our hearts, that is where our battlefield is. If we give in to Satan there, he has a shortcut to bring it out in our lives. But if we remember Jesus' words, we're not safe holding on to corruption, that the things that bring corruption through lust, by entertaining and dwelling upon things that God has not given us. It's going to eat us away. It's going to take away our joy and can take away our eternal life. Beside this, we read of a series of virtues, of truths, of development in the Christian life that we would add to the faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, temperance patience, and to patience godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. These things are spoken to us by the Apostle Peter through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we would take these verses, that we would go home, that we would consider these things in our life about growing in dependence and reliance upon the Lord and a virtuous life and continuing on through charity. I believe that if we would take the time to seek the Lord in these things, we will find that there is room for growth in all these areas, even in the most perhaps basic, and that they are all necessary. And Apostle Peter speaks of these things. He says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that word that speaks to me and encourages me to learn of my Lord, to observe him in his meekness. And in that observation and in that pursuit, it's not a barren or unfruitful pursuit. There are fruits that will develop from taking that time in prayer, from taking that time in worship of the Lord, even by ourselves within our closets, opening the Word and asking that the Lord would impart his character and the things that he values and would direct me and help me to prioritize my life. Because it says next that he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. If the knowledge of Jesus Christ is not being lived out, it says that I am blind and I cannot see afar off. There are many things that are hidden from us in terms of what is to come in the future, or what is around the bend, or what is over the next hill in life's journey. But can we afford to neglect these things and perhaps not see afar off? There is no vision in this life that does not, with the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, also submit to it. Cannot see afar off, cannot see what the challenges might be in the future. And also, sadly, has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. What a sad state that this precious gift of salvation would be something that would be lightly forgotten, something that we cannot go anywhere in the world to achieve, that we cannot go to men's places of education and knowledge. There's only one source of forgiveness of sins. One source of cleansing. We go to the cross. But if we do not carry the cross and follow Jesus Christ, we've forgotten it. And we've forgotten how we were cleansed. And we've forgotten that time of reasoning together with the Lord, that our sins were as scarlet, and he has made them white as snow. Let's be reminded. Let's be reminded of what good things the Lord has done for us. If he offers to us grace and peace and all things that we are needing, and we are needing much, if he is offering us precious and exceeding promises, if he offers to us not to forget the salvation and the cleansing and the forgiveness and the mercy that he has shown to us, how can we not also then return and to our Lord and seek to be diligent and give our all to him? Oh, how we fail often in this, and oh, how I see myself. But Peter says, rather, brethren, don't think about that to a morbid obsession of failing. Look rather to Christ and see the victory that is him, giving your diligence to make your calling and election sure. We do not take credit for our calling, and we do not take credit for our election. But we do bear the witness of the reality of those things. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Stay occupied in the work of the kingdom. Look to the Savior. Don't look to men and the way they disappoint you. Don't look to me. Do these things, and ye shall never fall. Keep yourself busy in the kingdom of God. Strive to enter and be diligent in what God is even speaking to your heart and inspiring you right now. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is something to take notice of and to remember and to take with us where we go. This word gives us a high calling of dedication and diligence. But these things are not the basis of our salvation. We heard about the basis of our salvation this morning. And look at how Peter describes it. The entrance into eternal life is not one that will be given as we would receive wages. But it says, it will be ministered unto you abundantly, the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It will be served. I'd like you to take a look at Luke chapter 12 this week. There is a verse that speaks of heaven and our eternal reward in a way that touches my heart, and I hope it does you. God is looking for willing hearts to receive his word, to embrace him, and to serve him. We don't get reward as wages after this life is done. But he will willingly gird himself and serve us and express his love to us in a way that is beyond our comprehension. We have much to be thankful for, and he is giving us much, and he is providing access to much and precious gifts through his knowledge. But there's a coming a day when we're going to understand so much better. Let's seek to be ready for that day. Call upon the Lord while he may be found. Amen.
The promises that we find in this afternoon's word, where Peter encourages us to add to our faith all these things that he mentions here. And then he says, and God forbid that any of us would fail to do these and then forget that we have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And so he encourages us here then, he says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And so then he concludes by saying, wherefore I will not be diligent I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. So it's well and true. Many of us know the scriptures. Many of us know how we should live. Let us not forget what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Amen.